Welcome to the Call the Vet Show, the podcast that helps pet parents understand and optimize the health of their furry family so they can live the full and happy life you want for them. And here's your host, veterinarian Dr. Alex Avery.
Hello, kia ora. Welcome back to another episode of the Call the Vet Show. I'm delighted to be joining you again, and this week we're bringing you another listener question. So Janine has got concerns about her dog. She's got an upset tummy. He gets blood in his stools. She's tried lots of different diets for him, but it keeps coming back. So what can she do? What's the best diet? We'll get into that in just a little minute. But before we do, make sure you hit that subscribe button if you're not subscribed already. If you're a new listener, then welcome along. This is the podcast that gives you the information that you need to help your pet live the long, happy and comfortable life that you want for them. So hopefully that's something that you're interested in, and I welcome you sticking around for this episode and many more to come. You can dive back into the back catalogue. This is episode number 147, I believe. So there's been quite a few, but also you can get your question answered by simply heading over to ourpetshealth.com/question, recording your question, and I'll do my very best to answer it on an upcoming episode. So make sure you head over to ourpetshealth.com/question and submit your question. But for now, here's Janine.
And now, on with the show.
Hi, my name is Janine. I'm calling about my 35-pound male 8-year-old dog who has been diagnosed with colitis. I've been feeding him chicken and rice for the past few months. He still is having symptoms. I'm wondering if it would be safe for me to change from white rice to brown rice to increase a little bit of his fiber intake. Also, if there is some other food that I could be feeding him that might be a little more nutritionally complete. He hasn't done well when I've tried to switch him over to Royal Canning gastro support dog food, and also some kibble type dog food that's made for dogs with sensitive stomachs. He's reverted to having blood in his stools when I've done that. So I would appreciate any information that you could give me of how I could help him. I'm just concerned that a steady diet of chicken and rice alone is just not nutritionally complete. So, and thank you so much for having this podcast.
Janine, thank you so much for sending this question through. I can really sense your frustration with what you're saying, and I can completely understand that. This is a reasonably common problem, or certainly dealing with dogs and cats with upset stomachs with some degree or other is a really common problem. Clearly dogs will be dogs, and they'll often have a bit of a sniff around and a lick of something that really disagrees with them, and we're left with a sudden but short-lived upset tummy. That's one thing, but it's a completely different thing when we're dealing with a long-term situation. So the first thing to say is colitis is an inflammation lower down in a dog's intestinal tract. So here we typically get the blood in the stools, which is what you're seeing. We can get a very mucousy, jelly-like substance around the stools. We get straining in dogs, so they'll often feel like they need to go to the toilet, even when not very much is produced. And as a result of that, we'll also get lots of stools being passed, lots of small amounts of stools being passed. So it seems like a dog always needs to go to the toilet. So it's not much fun for them, but it can also be pretty frustrating and pretty challenging for you as the pet parent to deal with. The important thing to start off by saying is to say that colitis in and of itself isn't a specific diagnosis. So colitis is more of a description of the signs that are being seen and how a disease is manifesting. It could be that this colitis is literally what we would think of as a tummy upset. So something's been eaten that's disagreed with an individual intestinal tract, and we get this bloody or mucousy stool. So that's one thing, but we can get other types of diseases that cause this. So that ranges everything from parasites, certain infections, salmonellas, campylobacters, that kind of thing, through to inflammatory bowel disease, and even tumours. So there's a really significant range of different conditions. And this is important to think about, because for any dog that has got a recurrent problem where we're not seeming to be able to manage it with maybe a simple diet change and some additional supportive measures, we do need to be thinking that maybe there is something else going on. And albeit these things aren't particularly common, it may trigger further investigations to be carried out. And these can include anything from stool samples being sent to the laboratory through to ultrasound and even exploratory surgery in some instances. And so with that in mind, let's think about what we can feed a dog with colitis in general terms. So there are a number of commercial diets, and Janine, you mentioned that you've tried some of these but without much success. But there are some commercial diets that are designed specifically for dogs with a general upset tummy, and also those with colitis specifically. So we can think of these diets as being gentle, so they are easy to digest, they're palatable, because sometimes these dogs aren't feeling all that fantastic, so we need to encourage them to eat. And they can also contain things like prebiotics and probiotics, so probiotics being the good bacteria, if you like, and prebiotics being the food for these bacteria, so that we can try and reset kind of rebalance the flora, the normal population of microbes, of bugs that live in the gut. We can reseed that and make it healthy again. Now, our colitis diets, again, as you've suggested, Janine, do also often contain high levels of fiber. So fiber is really essential for the health of the colon in particular. So what happens is the fiber, it gets digested within the intestine, and those digestion products actually help feed those good bugs and help provide nutrients to the lining cells of the colon. So fiber can be really beneficial. Now, clearly, this can cause a bit of a bulkier stool, and that can mean that the output is a little bit more, but that in and of itself isn't a problem at all for your dog. Now, sometimes this colitis or other diarrheas as well is caused by a dietary sensitivity. So if we've got a sensitivity to particular types of diet, it can take several changes before we find a diet that works and that suits that individual. There are lots of different diets out there. Clearly, we've got our kind of standard commercial diets. There are a lot of kind of whole food or slow cooked diets that are becoming available on the market. And then there's the home cooking options as well. The issue with these, or the potential issue, is the same as Janine is suggesting here with a diet of chicken and white rice. That in and of itself is not balanced. And while that would be fine, and sometimes that's actually an ideal thing for a dog to be fed for a few days, blending it up can help as well. But that's not providing all of the essential nutrients and vitamins and minerals that a dog needs in the long term. So if we're dealing with a chronic, a longer term situation, we really need to make sure that we're feeding a properly balanced diet. And to do that with home feeding is actually very challenging. So if you're going down that route, I would encourage you to consult with a veterinary nutritionist, someone with the expertise to be able to produce a diet that is truly balanced and won't be detrimental to the health of your dog in the long term. Now, aside from diet, we can also think of a few different supplements that we could be adding to any of these foods. So we've already mentioned probiotics and prebiotics. We can add those as a supplement to a different diet, to any diet. And I've spoken about those in the past, and I'll leave links to those in the show notes, as well as some suggestions of product options for you should you choose to go down this route. There are also fiber supplements. One that I use is something called Fibor. I especially use that if we're dealing with anal gland problems, because bulking out those stools with fiber can really help prevent them refilling. So it's a really valuable tool there. Nutrition is just an important tool for a number of different problems that our pets may suffer with. So there are these supplements that we can also add to try and get a solution for your dog. From Janine's point of view, is switching to brown rice going to help? Well, it's going to provide more fiber. Any kind of whole grain has more fiber than a more refined and processed product, but it's still not going to make that diet diet balance. So I would really encourage you to have a discussion with your vet about the next steps, because as I said at the beginning, if we're dealing with a long-term situation and diet change doesn't seem to be doing the trick, it may be that we need to investigate the problem a little bit more closely.
Helping your pet live the happy, healthy life they deserve.
So that's it from me for this episode. I hope that helped you, Janine, and anyone else who comes across a dog with an upset tummy. It's a very common problem, and knowing a couple of different options means that you may not even need a trip to your vet at all. Clearly, if your dog has got diarrhea, colitis, and is unwell in themselves, then they really do need to go to the vet. But sometimes a slight diet change, the addition of maybe a prebiotic or a probiotic, can make all the difference in settling down your dog's tummy, stopping their diarrhea without needing a trip to the vet. Remember, you can get your question answered by heading over to ourpetshealth.com/question. I'll leave links to that, as well as links to all of the things I've spoken about in this episode, in the show notes at callthevet.org. And until the next episode, I'm veterinarian Dr. Alex. This is the Call the Vet show, because they're family.
That's it for this episode of the Call the Vet show. Be sure to visit callthevet.org to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. We'll see you next time.